on the Tilted Kilt in Lower Downtown Denver. This is Club Talk on Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Sandy Clough with you on this Monday night. It's always a pleasure to welcome Andrew Feinstein, the founder of the preeminent website relating to Denver Nuggets basketball, denverstiffs.com. Andrew's actually in Los Angeles, but watched, and those on the website to whom editorial commentary was assigned, commented on last night's game one of the first round series between the Nuggets and the Thunder, and Andrew's been kind enough to join us. Good evening, my friend. How you doing? You're out in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, I'm visiting some friends here. I used to live here part-time in addition to living in Denver, so I do come back from time to time, and it's always fun to be here when the Lakers lose. But I will be heading back to Denver tomorrow so I can get together with the Denver friends for the Wednesday game, and then, of course, I'll be there Saturday night. That's going to be a big game.
Well, your impressions of game one. I'll start off with a general question from the Nugget perspective. Should we be encouraged or discouraged by what came out of game one?
I guess we should be encouraged, shouldn't we? I got to learn to be more of a glasses half full kind of guy. We should be encouraged. I mean, they played great, and that's from coaching all the way through the last man on the floor until that last minute and a half. And I agree with you, Sandy, that call was just a disastrous, unconscionable, unacceptable, you know, act of stupidity by last night's version of Mo, Larry, and Curly, known as NBA refereeing. That said, a minute is plenty of time. And why they didn't have some sort of a set play ready to go, especially at that 20-second mark where Felton chucked a completely unnecessary three-pointer, is a real head-scratcher for me.
What and Carl acknowledged today, Andrew, and I agree totally, and it was something that, as I'm watching the game last night, I didn't understand. Everybody did sort of stop, almost seeming to be stunned after that non-call. Why he didn't call timeout at that point is something that I think we have to focus on more so than the three-point shot attempt at the end of the game when they probably didn't need to take a three, but it's 104-101, and to me it was the next sequence where they needed to set up something better than a 21-foot jump shot by Kenyon Martin. That was the sequence where they had to effectively execute, and George even admitted today that was a mistake on his part. It should have been right away timeout after that call. Not to keep arguing it, but by not calling timeout, they were arguing the call all the way up the floor to play offense. Martin was arguing the call almost up to the point where he launched the shot. He was still arguing the call.
I agree. And the Nuggets, they failed one of the rules that I wrote at Denver Stiff. Not that they read what rules we impose on them, but we wrote a rule, I think it was 2 years ago. And one of the rules was, as much as we love Kenyon Martin, he is not allowed to shoot a basketball within the last 2 minutes of a game that's close, period. Unless it's a layup. He is not allowed to shoot a jump shot, just like here in Los Angeles. I don't know why they let Ron Artest shoot
a
shot.
Same
for
principle.
The last minute and a half. You can't, why you'd even have it in his hands, it makes no sense. I thought Nene was going to shoot that three. Back to that other sequence.
He almost, I thought he was too. He almost seemed to be looking at the possibility of launching one. I would have had more confidence in Nene shooting that shot than a 21-footer from Martin.
And what's weird about the whole thing is George Karl, you can fault him all you want, but of all the things George Karl does well, in my opinion, he draws up very good out of timeout plays. He's very good at setting up, game-winning shots, isolation situations to get a score open. That's one of his specialties, and I too am shocked that he didn't call timeout. I mean, like I said, we can blame this bad call all we want, and it was a bad call. It's a horrible call. But these are professional basketball players, and there's a minute to go. That's a lifetime in an NBA game. And then my only concern is they've got to figure out a way to pull these games out. I'm sorry. They have to do it.
They will have to do it at least four more times, obviously, if they're going to win this series, set themselves
right
up that way. there were some on your site today who suggested that George Karl, among many mistakes in the final minute and a half, 2 minutes, had the wrong people out on the floor, that the two small guards did not belong out there together, that J.R. Smith did. My counter to that was that on the plus-minus, J.R. was minus 11, by far the worst figure of any player on the floor last night. And on that basis alone, he would have been a poor choice. I understand that if you're going to have somebody force up a three, I'd rather have JR doing the forcing than Raymond Felton doing the forcing in the last 11 seconds. But did you think that Smith, among others, perhaps, belonged on the floor in the last minute, minute and a half?
Well, it's always easy to pick on lineups, right, Sandy? That's one of the easiest things we as fans can do the day after. My issue wasn't so much with the personnel on the floor. It was the fact that it didn't seem to me that they had a set play drawn to take a three. And if you watch the replay of that awful three-pointer by Felton, what's more disconcerting is that neither Nene nor Kenyon Martin were in the post for a possible rebound. It was as if they had no idea what was going on. So I think that if you're going to criticize George, you got to criticize George for that. I don't know why they didn't drop a three-pointer. And you got to say, now look, if you're going to drop a three-pointer, would I like to see Wilson Chandler and J.R. Smith out there? Probably.
I think there's a much better argument for Chandler being out there.
Right.
Well, who was making contested threes early in the game?
And Chandler's long. So, yeah. You know, even if he's not the one that takes the shot, maybe he gets the big rebound for you. And I would have liked to see him out there. But to me, I was more appalled by the lack of kind of offensive discipline, if you will, on those key possessions down the stretch. That's what I was concerned about. I didn't get a chance to write something today because I'm trying to take the day off. But what I would have written today was I don't know what the Nuggets are doing in practice, but what they should be doing in practice is grabbing about 500 high school kids from Oklahoma City and hand them all Thunder sticks. And have them yelling and screaming inside that gym, and they should shoot 2,000 free throws today.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because I'm looking at the box score. The shooting field goals, we were 39 of 77. They were 38 of 77. Excuse me. Missing 12 free throws, and we also missed 12 three-point shots.
One out of 13 after starting 3-for-3, absolutely. We'll let you run on this, but I want you to respond to a section of Mark Kisla's column today in the Denver Post, which reads as follows. Anybody miss Carmelo Anthony now? As tough as it is to admit, the Nuggets lost to Oklahoma City for a simple reason. In the NBA, talent trumps teamwork. Down the stretch, the opening game of this playoff series, there was too much Durant, who scored 41 points for the Thunder. Is that a simple and plausible reason or a simplistic reason that really doesn't hold up, even if you're just examining the game last night, that talent trumps teamwork?
Well, history is definitely on Kiz's side. You can't argue with history. That said, you know, yes, Kevin Durant had a great game, and yes, Russell Westbrook had a great game, but are they going to have 72 points again in game two? I would question that. To Kiz's credit, though, I would say this. Carmelo Anthony had no problem going toe-to-toe with these guys and beating the Thunder. For whatever reason, this was one of those teams that he just thrived against. But if we would have had a Carmelo Anthony like the one that the Knicks had yesterday,
shooting 30-footers at the end of the game with two people hanging on him?
Yeah. I'll take my chances without him.
I agree with you there. Andrew, it's a pleasure. Have a safe trip back, and we'll talk more as the series progresses. And again, for some fascinating analysis of Game 1 and for as many opinions as you could possibly have, different opinions on why the Nuggets lost, should they be emboldened by this game or disheartened, you go to denverstiffs.com and you'll get all of the salient fan reaction. Andrew, as always, much appreciated tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Andy. Have a great evening.
Andrew Feinstein, denverstiffs.com. Cleft Talk continues from the Tilted Kilt, lower downtown Denver on Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
We are Denver Sports Station.
I'm talking about finishing, right?
It's just it.
Ain't much there.
No.
It's a wild turkey.
No, there isn't much.
Sports Radio 104.3.
I ain't scared of you, big boy.
We are.
I ain't gonna win that fight.